Good morning, everyone.
What a blessing it is to have such a great God, and what a blessing it is to have such a great God who's done such wonderful things for us, the greatest of which is Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Brother Justin, for your song service and reminding us of that this morning. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 2 Chronicles chapter 14, if you'd like to turn over there this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. From the time of the later years of King Solomon, who is king over all of Israel, we see the nation of Israel seeming to be in a very great decline. In fact, it stops being the united nation of Israel during the time of Solomon's son Rehoboam. But even more than that, they seem to be in a spiritual decline at this time. In fact, we see that spiritual decline even be in the southern kingdom of Judah. Judah, in which the descendants of David, the man after God's own heart, is ruling at this time. We see in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 6, about Solomon. Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the Lord fully as David his father had done. We see that at the end of Solomon's life. We see his son Rehoboam in 2 Chronicles 12, verse 13. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. And we see in verse 14 that he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. We see his son Abijah, 1 Kings 15 and verse 3, he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had committed before him, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, like the heart of his father David, until we read about his son. 1 Kings 15 and verse 11, now Asa did what was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. King Asa was the man who broke the pattern of this time. And it is King Asa that we'll be looking at this morning. King Asa, who is king of Judah, was a king with a very short name, just three letters, A-S-A. But a very long reign. We see in 1 Kings 15 and verse 10 that he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. That's a good amount of time. In fact, this reign of Asa spanned multiple kings of the northern kingdom of Israel when Israel split and became the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. When Asa became king, Jeroboam was still on the throne in Israel, and he continued to reign, or Asa did, during the times that Nadab, Baasha, Elah, Zimri, who only reigned for 7 days, so I don't know if you want to count him, but Zimri, Omri, and Ahab ruled. He was still on the throne when King Ahab took the throne. And if we're looking at just the accounts that we see written about Asa in Kings, we may not think that there's a whole lot that is written about this long reign of this king, because there's only about 14 verses that are really dedicated to Asa within the king's account. But then we take a look at 2 Chronicles, and in 2 Chronicles, the reign of Asa spans three entire chapters. So this morning, we're going to be looking at Asa, and also next Sunday as well, we're going to break this up into two lessons. Now, as you might expect, where you start with Asa, where we're going to start with him is at the beginning, or at least the beginning that's revealed to us. And it's a beginning that kind of starts with an end. That's kind of how this whole transfer of being a king works out, right? To be a king, kind of there has to be an end to the old one. And Asa's story for us begins with the death of his father, Abijah, 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 1. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And his son Asa became king in his place. And the land was undisturbed for 10 years during his days. So we're coming in here at a time of change, right? The kingdom of Judah is changing kings. But while King Abijah, who was king over them previously, had some good moments in his life, and I do invite you to take a look at 2 Chronicles 13 later to see what that was. He is still described as a king who was not devoted to the Lord. And so, you know, really a change for the nation might not be all that bad of a thing. Well, that kind of depends, right? It depends on the type of man this new king is going to be who's coming in next. And this is what we see, 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 2. But Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord his God, for he removed the foreign altars and the high places, and he tore down the sacred pillars, and he cut down the Asherim, and he commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was undisturbed under him. So we read that there is a very good beginning to the reign of Asa. And I don't know if he said this consciously or if he just decided to do this, but the reason why it is so good is because he desired to be different from the man who came before him. The things that his father did, that didn't have to be Asa. The things that his family did, that didn't have to be Asa. Asa's father did not serve the Lord fully. That did not have to be Asa. Even if Asa's father had been a man after God's own heart, just like Asa's great-great-great-grandfather David, that did not have to be the limit for Asa. It is not what others do that is important. It is what God wants us to do that's important. And because Asa and the people are seeking the Lord and seeking to be what God wants them to be, they find themselves in a pretty good time of peace. We read in verse 6 that he built fortified cities in Judah since the land was undisturbed, and there was no one at war with him during those years because the Lord had given him rest. For he said to Judah, "Let us build these cities and surround them with walls and towers, gates and bars. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him and he has given us rest on every side." So they built and they prospered. And now Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, bearing large shields and spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin, bearing shields and wielding bows. And all of them were valiant warriors. What is it that Asa does during this time of peace? Well, he uses it as a time to do something. Peace is the best time to prepare, is it not? And Asa realizes that, whether it is strengthening the walls and the cities that are built or placing guards in there, he wants to do that before he has a time of need for it. The time to build a foundation is not when the floods are coming, when the rain is coming down, but to do it before that. The land is certainly theirs now, and that's been pointed out, but it does not hurt to be ready if someone comes to change that. And what is interesting about this passage that we just read is it's a bridged passage where we're going into a situation where that is exactly the case. There is going to be an enemy nation that is going to come that is going to do just that or seek to do just that. And we would think that what we just read about all this fortification that Asa is doing and the soldiers, that is what's going to be of absolute importance in this situation, but it's not. It may have been important. But it turns out it is not as important as another factor for Judah. Verse 9, "Now Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Marisha. So Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up in battle formation in the valley of Zephathah at Marisha. Then Asa called to the Lord his God, and he said, 'Lord, there is no one besides you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you, and in your name have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you.' So the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar, and so many Ethiopians fell so that they could not recover. For they were shattered before the Lord and before his army, and they carried away very much plunder, and they destroyed all the cities around Gerar, for the dread of the Lord had fallen on them, and they despoiled all their cities, for there was much plunder in them. They also struck down those who owned livestock, and they carried away large numbers of sheep and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem." Ethiopia is a country to the south of Egypt, just directly south of it, and the name literally means Cushite, or a descendant of Cush. But more importantly than the people that are being presented to us is the numbers, right? We see that it's told to us within God's word that there was an army of 1,000,000 men. That's a large number of people. That's a lot of armed bodies. We read of Asa's 580,000 troops just a few passages before. And, you know, when we read that, we might have initially, it may have made us think of the power that Asa has mustered up. But really what it shows is the disparity from the enemy that he's facing now. Ethiopia has doubled the amount of people that Asa has. And it doesn't say why it is that this army came up against Judah. I mean, I'm sure the Ethiopians saw some very good reasons, but I was thinking, you know, with an army that big, why not? Right? If you have an army that big, seeing it from Zerah's standpoint, who's leading the Ethiopians, you got an army that big, don't you want to use it? And I'm sure that he was pretty confident that he would win. But the thing is, and we noticed this when we read the passage, it is Judah that had the advantage. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the amount of men that Asa is able to get together. It has nothing to do with the fortifications that we read him making. It has everything to do with the God that he worships. God is power. God is strength. God is might. And turning on to the viewpoint of Asa, if you have a God so powerful as the true and living God, why would you not seek him? Why would you not trust in him? Why would you allow things to get in the way of him? I'm not saying this in terms of, you know, people need to use him like Asa needed to use God. We don't use God. God wants to conquer the things in this world that oppresses his people. God desires to glorify his holy name just like his people does. He is willing to use his people to do that. There is immeasurable potential in the people of God. And it's not because we can use God. It's not because they can use God. It's because God will use us if we seek him to. And what we see is the enemy is absolutely wrong when they think that they can win against God. It's God that wins. It's God that gives the victory. And I'm not saying that the preparations that Asa made was pointless. Because, I mean, it's not. God used the soldiers that he had mustered up. You know, God maybe used the fortifications that Asa had made. The point is that these things are not as important as being prepared to seek God in any and every situation. I may be the only one this morning. You know, please let me know if I'm not. But have you ever looked for your keys before? I've done that a lot. You know what the easiest way to find your keys are? You want a little bit of a life tip this morning? The easiest way to find your keys is if you already know where they are. And if you make it a habit to look for them in that place. There are a lot of kings, and there are a lot of military professionals, and generals, or whatever it may be, who would find themselves in Asa's position, and they would try to find... They would look at various strategies. They would look at various plans. They would look at all these different things trying to find victory. But Asa knew where to find it. And he was prepared to look there. Success in this life, and true success, is only found in God. And I believe that Asa had a habit of looking for it in God. I don't think that it was just physical defenses that he has been building up over these years. And I don't believe that he had been really depending on these things, trusting on these things. Because if these physical fortifications are what Asa trusted in, this story would be a whole lot different. Whole lot different. Asa would have lost. Asa would have been defeated. Asa would have been a failure at the end of all of this if it was the things of this world that he trusted in instead of God. But instead of that, Asa can rely on a very important fact, and this is a fact that he points out. He and his people represent God in this world. He says in chapter 14, in verse 11, he says, O Lord our God, we trust in you. Again in verse 11, he says, in your name we have come against this multitude. Why is it that Asa can say, in your name we come? He can say that because it's true. Not just because they are God's people, but because they act like God's people. They do truly trust in God. God will represent his people, will represent them if they represent him. God is a God of power and might and love and wrath and mercy and forgiveness and faithfulness. God is faithful to us. If we are faithful to him, he will represent us in this world. He will fight for us in this world. He will strengthen us in this world. And the fact that we see resonated from the very beginning is that man will never prevail against God. And that's what we see here. Neither will the things of this world. We'll never prevail against God. If God is for us, who then can be against us? And so what do we see in this passage? We see that the people of Judah defeat the Ethiopians. But don't miss the fact, what do we read in the passage? We read that God routed them. It was the army of God that routed the Ethiopians. And one of the neat things about this, aside from the fact that, you know, an army half the size of the other army routs that other army, is that this is the pattern that we see all throughout the Bible. This is nothing new. We don't get to this passage and it's like, boy, I never saw that coming. Right? Even when things look bad to us, God conquers. And he conquers for those who are truly his people. That's the pattern that we see. Another pattern that we see is that when someone seeks God, he provides his word for them. He provides his word so they can see and hear what God has to say so that they cannot misunderstand what the will of the Lord is in their lives. And we see this in chapter 15 and verse 1. Now the Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." For many days, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and they sought him, and he let them find him. In those times, there was no peace to him who went out or him who came in, for many disturbances afflicted the inhabitants of the lands. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. But you, be strong and do not lose courage, for there is reward in your work. And this is what Asa does in verse 8. Now when Asa heard these words and the prophecy which Azariah the son of Oded the prophet spoke, he took courage. And he removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities which he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. Then he restored the altar of the Lord, which was in front of the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all of Judah and Benjamin from those of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who resided with them. For many defected to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they assembled at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of Asa's reign. They sacrificed to the Lord that day 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep from the spoil which they had brought. And they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all of their heart and soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord or God, the Lord God of Israel, should be put to death, whether small or great, man or woman. Moreover, they made an oath to the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting, with trumpets, and with horns. And all of Judah rejoiced concerning the oath, for they had sworn with their whole heart and sought him earnestly, and he let them find him. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. He also removed Maacah, the mother of King Asa, from the position of queen mother, because she had made a horrid image as an Asherah. And Asa cut down her horrid image and crushed it and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was blameless all of his days. He brought into the house of God the dedicated things of his father and his own dedicated things, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no more war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. Asa was encouraged by the word of God. That's what God's word does when we read it. And he was encouraged not to just be courageous, not to just have courage or to just trust in him and not just to have a good attitude in this life. Asa was encouraged to change his life. Change is inevitable when someone seeks God. It has to happen. God says, we can read this in his word, God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." Our lives are not holy before we seek God to make them so. God teaches us, and through his teachings we see we have to change, and not just the things that we do, the people that we are. We have to change. And the interesting thing is that Asa was a really good king up until this point. I mean, we've seen that, right? It's hard to imagine that there's a whole lot of things that he needs to change. But then what do we see? There was plenty that he could. There was plenty of things that Asa could do to grow and to become more pleasing in the sight of God. And the text doesn't even say anything about God being displeased at him at this point, or being discontent with Asa at this point. Asa heard God's word and he was discontent. He was displeased. He heard God's word and realized that there is such a great blessing of turning your heart and your soul and your mind fully over to God, that he looked at his life and he said, "What is it that is preventing me from giving him all of this?" And he changed. Why? Because right now, Asa, at this point in our story, is a man of God. And that is what God's people do. And Asa did so despite, maybe there might be some expectations not to. I mean, we see that Asa's father fell away from the faith. That would happen to some people and they would see, well, I mean, things went okay for him, right? We see in 2 Chronicles 13 and verse 21 about Abijah. Abijah became powerful, but Asa was not going to allow that to stop him from seeking God. And here's the thing, Abijah was strong, and Abijah was made powerful. That didn't stop him from dying in the end, did it? Asa was blessed with a good time of peace at the beginning of his reign, and that would happen to some, and they would use it as a time to become more and more entangled with this world and the things of it. But Asa was not going to allow that to stop him from seeking God. Asa was faced with a daunting enemy, right? That would happen to some, and they would say, I need more men, I need more weapons, I need more of a strategy or whatever it is. Asa said, I need God. Asa certainly wasn't going to allow the difficulties in this life to stop him from seeking God. There are a lot of weak reasons that are given in this life of why not to seek God and why not to seek him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. But at this point in Asa's life that we just read, it demonstrates why God is greater than every single one of them. And sometimes there is a lot of difficulty. Sometimes there is a lot of hurt that goes into the fact that someone is not seeking God with all of their heart, soul, and mind. But, and I'm not saying that these reasons are weak because they don't mean anything to us. Of course they do. I'm saying that they are weak because God is stronger. They are weak because God, who has absolutely no reason to desire us, wants us to be his people. They are weak because God, who did not have to, allowed his Son, Jesus the Christ, the Lord and King of this world, to die on a cross for us. For me, for you. How crazy is that? Asa took this pattern of weakness and what his family did and what the world considered to be correct, and he broke that pattern. He wanted to make something out of his life. And so Asa wanted to be pleasing to God. We read this in Ephesians 5, verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. The them that is being referred to in this passage, when it says, do not be partakers with them, they are those that walk in darkness, but they are also those that do not try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. That is what's being instructed here. Now, stop and think about that for a second. Who is it that Paul is writing to here? He's writing to Christians. Don't you think that maybe they're already doing what is pleasing to the Lord? But like Asa and the changes that he made, he could grow. And we all can. But also the them that is being referred to in this passage are those that allow these reasons that there are in this world of why not to seek God, prevent them from doing so. Maybe it is that they compare their lives to others, or maybe they have their own standard, or maybe they don't feel like they need to be more than what their family believes. Maybe they say, I don't need to be as religious as this other person, or whatever it may be. And you know what? That is absolutely correct. We do not have to be like anybody else in this world. And we don't have to be like Asa. But again, what do we see that God says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16? He says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Holy is what we have to be. You don't have to be like anybody else in this world, but you do have to be holy if you want to be pleasing to God. Do we feel adequate in doing that? Who does it sound like we need then? Maybe they may say, you know, my life is just fine without concerning myself with God. Is that even true? Our life is such a vapor. It is gone like that. And it's unstable in so many ways. You know, Asa had peace at the beginning of his reign, but it was a peace that did not last. It only lasted for 10 years. And then he was faced with a problem that he did not have the strength to overcome. Where would he have turned if the Lord hadn't have been there? Where are we going to turn at the end of our lives? Because none of us can overcome that on our own. We're all going to die in this life. Where are we going to turn if we can't turn to the Lord? Who does it sound like we need then? Maybe they may say, you know, God is just something to think about later. You know, I've got too much on my plate right now. I've got too many problems. And that's true. We all have problems. Everyone has problems. The thing is, I can look at every single person in this audience this morning. I can say, you've got problems. I know that. And most of them are far greater than mine. But if you are in Christ this morning, if you have taken on a life in Christ Jesus, I can look at you and I can say, you've got the solution. There are a lot of reasons that are given in this life of why not to seek God. That is the pattern of all humanity. Humanity has laid down this pattern of we don't want to seek God. But the pattern that we see over and over again is that God, the living God of this world, answers those that seek Him out and more abundantly than they could ever dream of. Now the question is, what is the pattern that you want to break this morning? And what is the pattern that you want to be privy to this morning? God wants to bless you. Our passage ended with this in 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 19. And there was no more war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. Until is a cliffhanger, right? We know that when we read until, something is about to change. And that's not always a good thing. Someone can be faithful in their life until they're not. Or that until can mean the greatest change of someone's life is about to happen. Today can be an until for you. And in fact, it is. You have lived every single day of your life up until this point, and you've lived that a certain way. Are you ready to fully seek God with the rest of it? If we have made it until this day, we have. There's a lot of us here this morning who seek God, and we desire to seek God. We can always grow. We can always pursue to be even more pleasing to God in our lives. If you have not sought God, you have not done that, hopefully, until today. If you are ready to begin your walk with God this morning, that's great. He has allowed His Son to die on a cross for you so that you can do that. But you have to turn away from your old life. Be baptized to walk into a new life with Him. And if you would like to do that, please come forward. Be saved in our Lord Jesus Christ. Always standing as we sing.